There is a bitter dispute brewing up in Wisconsin's North Woods. The Lacto Flambeau tribe has banned sales of the Lakeland Times, a non-Indian newspaper published in a nearby town. Abby Thompson, a spokesperson for the tribal council.
They have always put the positive things that the tribal members and the tribe has going in the back of the paper. But when something bad happens, it's front page news and they elaborate on it. And now they're choosing sides with this group that are focused on bringing down the tribal government.
Thompson says dissidents among the tribe have partnered with the Lakeland Times in order to discredit council members. She says they're only just hurting themselves.
We call it the Lakeland Inquirer. And we came to a point where we said, no more.
But one of the newspaper's reporters, Patty Wenzel, says the boycott's an attempt to silence those who simply question the tribal council's actions.
The interesting twist is a young girl, she's 12 years old, has decided to thumb her nose at her own tribal government and sell our newspapers at a lemonade stand right in front of her home. And so our message and these ideas have still been getting out.
A rock has reportedly been thrown through a window of the girl's home. But Wenzel says the fight for free press will carry on as the Lacto Flambeau Tribal Council and the Lakeland Times work to settle their differences. Such scenarios may seem odd, but Paul Demain, a member of Wisconsin's Oneida tribe and publisher of News from Indian Country, says skirmishes between tribal governments and the media are common, especially on reservations. He adds that about every year, a Native editor gets fired for running something that doesn't chime with reservation officials. He recalls working for a Lac-Couturier tribal paper called the Osseo American. The chairman axed him for simply changing the name of the paper. Demain was hired back after other council members intervened.
But about 6 months later, I was asked to write a news release indicating that the FBI was not investigating the Lac-Couturier Tribal Council for corruption and embezzlement of funds. And so I wrote that to the local media, while at the same time I was writing an article about how there were FBI agents in the tribal office examining financial documents based on allegations of embezzlement and corruption. So I got fired again.
Demain's headaches ended when he founded News from Indian Country in 1977, an independent paper based in Hayward. But most tribal media work under the shadow of tribal government. Of the 562 federally recognized tribes, only about 10% recognize free press in their constitutions. The Native American Journalists Association, or NAJA, has been working to change that for decades.
Come on now. By God, I see you tapping your feet, people. Come on here. Come on now.
At the recent NAJA convention in Lincoln, Nebraska, microphones and notepads mingled with beadwork and jingle dresses. NAJA President Dan Leverant says this year's theme, a free press, a free people, resonates with members, but not so with tribal officials, who often see tribal media as a public relations tool.
It's clear to most people that the government should not influence the news as it's published by an independent media, but it's less clear where you draw the line if the media is actually owned by the government. You know, we can't tell a tribal government what to print in its own paper. No one can.
I don't know that it's actually written into our Constitution, but it's just general knowledge among our council, just to be fair across the board, and whatever the news is, whether it be positive or negative, if it is actually the truth, then we don't have any problems with publishing it.
Cindy Samples is president of the Cherokee Tribe of Northeast Alabama. She says she and her colleagues decide what goes into the tribal paper, but still allow free press.
They're going to review, but they're not going to say, oh, we don't do this because I don't like this. Nothing like that. They will just be involved because it's part of their job as the tribal council to be involved in all aspects of the tribe.
But Karen Lincoln Michelle, a Ho-Chunk Indian who's written about free press, says it's all a matter of perception. She says she's heard stories about tribal leaders going into newsrooms to pull or revise articles about their activities, such as omitting resolutions or inflating crowd sizes at their political rallies. But, Lincoln Michelle adds, even without such direct interference, Indian reporters may pull punches as a form of self-preservation.
Just the very fact that you're trying to uncover something about the people who give you your paycheck, that in itself is intimidating. I think more times it's not necessarily censorship by the government, but a lot of times self-censorship, because you know that you have to pay the consequences of putting in a negative story in your newspaper.
There are some success stories here and there.
Watch your head.
At the Navajo Times offices in Window Rock, Arizona, Tom Arvizo Jr. shows off the facility. The aroma of coffee, microwave popcorn, and printer's ink hangs in the air.
This is our press room. This is something I'm really, really proud of back here. This is
Arvizo and his staff have battled with tribal leaders, often over financial and ethical issues, for decades. Then in 2003, tribal officials made the paper editorially and financially independent, allowing reporters to cover council activities without fear of retribution. This pleased both supporters and at least one critic, namely former tribal president Albert Hale. A few years ago, he resigned amidst allegations of abusing his power and having an affair with his press secretary. These stories were covered by the Navajo Times. Now an Arizona state senator, Hale says the paper's free status is a good thing.
Before, since they were part of the Navajo Nation government, they were covered by Navajo Nation sovereign immunity. So if they print erroneous information or slander somebody or libel somebody, now they can be sued on that basis.
The Navajo Times is regarded as a model for other tribal papers seeking independence. Paul DeMaine, publisher of News from Indian Country, says tribal members need to push leaders to support free press, whether or not to cast a rosy glow on their activities.
Airing one's laundry is a sign of maturity for tribal governments. That is they're not afraid to deal with issues. They're not afraid to deal with conflicting opinions.
DeMaine adds the payoff is more accountability for tribal officials and a broader, more accurate snapshot of life in Indian country. And Jody Rave, a Mandan Hidatsa tribal member who reports for Lee Enterprises, said she'd like to see the Native American Journalists Association give Indian reporters a resource for establishing financial and editorial freedom from their tribal councils.
Ideally, what we would do is create a tribal media center or a tribal media institute, and we'd rather have them come to this media center or NAJA for help and running their papers and eliminate the only possibility right now, which is depending on the tribe.
As awareness builds around national free press cases over leaked identities, secret sources, and jailed reporters, Rave and other Native journalists hope the attention will make people recognize the daily struggles they endure just to put the latest buzz from Indian country on people's doorsteps each morning. Brian Bull, Wisconsin Public Radio.